Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
It's my game right here. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. I taste it. Sometimes he's legendary right here, boy.
This is First and Pod.
They could not run the ball to save their lives in this game.
Your favorite team through a national lens.
The beauty of this podcast is that we don't gloss over anything. We do every team in every game.
Instant reaction to all the big games all season long.
The NFL never seems to let us down when we need a banger, banger.
Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Filippone, with 8-time Pro Bowl corner and 3-time first-team NFL All-Pro.
Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it.
Patrick Peterson.
An AFC North showdown to end Week 18, a winner-take-all to get into the playoffs. So it only was fitting that it ended in dramatics. Lamar Jackson said post-game that he thought they had it in the bag. He didn't think there was anything more that they could do. It was just up to the field goal kicker to make a field goal, and he misses. The Ravens go home sad. Pony, your Steelers are headed to the postseason. How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling great. I mean, they played a game in which they fell down 10 points, and I got to be honest, at that spot in the game, I did not have a very good feeling about it. Derrick Henry got off to an outstanding start with that first run. Steelers offense looked like it wasn't going to be able to move the ball without DK Metcalf for the second straight game. And then, as we often see happen when the Steelers play the Ravens in Pittsburgh, momentum started to shift. Lamar Jackson threw an interception on a tip ball. You had Aaron Rodgers come alive. You had the Steelers running backs, who have been very good all year, and Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell lend a helping hand. You had Cam Hayward at 36 years old, looked like he had been transported back in time with a time machine and playing like he was in his mid-20s and in his prime. And you had a shootout in the fourth quarter that had all kinds of ridiculous things happen with busted coverages and broken plays by the Steelers that led to bomb touchdowns by Lamar Jackson. And you had Pittsburgh just deal with it, keep their cool, keep their composure, and Aaron Rodgers orchestrate 2 touchdown drives of his own. So, as is often the case when these two teams play each other in these games, in Pittsburgh especially, Pat, the Steelers make just enough plays, or the Ravens do just enough things to screw up the game. And in this case, it was a kicker who missed what for him all year has been an automatic kick. That was his first missed field goal inside of 50 yards. And so that's fitting really for both teams, because all year long, the Ravens found ways to lose games and the Steelers found enough ways to win games and get themselves into the playoffs again.
Yeah, it was an outstanding game. It was only fitting that the NFL sent us out the right way with the Pittsburgh-Baltimore Ravens with the instant classic. Lamar Jackson done all he could have done in that ball game. Besides that one costly interception that he threw, it was a tip pass, and T.J. Watt happened to be in the right place at the right time, as he always is. And the defense, for the most part, they have to be better. They had an opportunity to not necessarily close the game out, but they had a good enough lead to where they could have made some stops to put themselves in a better position to win that ball game. I thought that Pittsburgh Steelers almost gave that game away with the costly timeouts that they waste in the second half, knowing that this game was probably going to come down to the wire. And so happened they scored the next play, which was good because the Baltimore, I don't know if you remember, right before halftime, it was kind of in that same instance to where they got up there, got to the 2-yard line, ran a play, called a late timeout. It was a little bit of a clock management issue, and they ended up walking out of the half without any points. So they almost cost themselves the game in 2 instances. But as you said, Pittsburgh Steelers always find a way to do enough just to win the ball game. especially when the game is in Acrisure Stadium. We saw, I know everyone saw the videos with the priest spraying his holy water in the end zone. So I don't know, you know, the good lords upstairs were at the game and putting their blow on that football, because it was a cold push shank, as they like to say it. And I'm sorry, a push cut, as they like to say it in golf. That kick wasn't close off the foot. So yeah, it was a great game, an instant classic. Now the Pittsburgh Steelers get DK Metcalf into the lineup, and it's going to possibly be the best opportunity for the Pittsburgh Steelers to win their first playoff game in God knows how long, because only thing the Pittsburgh Steelers have to do is keep the Houston defense, you know, under control. Don't turn the ball over. Don't allow Aaron Rodgers to get hit. So he's going to have to, you know, continue to have that quick trigger and move around, manipulate the pocket a little bit, because Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are real quarterback go-getters. And it's tough when you have two guys off the edge coming after you. So I believe the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is the best shot for the Pittsburgh Steelers in a while to win their first playoff game. So especially at home on Monday night, where Mike Tomlin is 22-3. I believe I saw his record in the last 12 games. He's 12-0. So everything is pointing in the right direction for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now they just have to go out there and take care of business.
We will preview the Steelers-Texans matchup coming this weekend, but it should be a good one. John Harbaugh survived Black Monday, but there are talks that have been louder than I can ever remember for John Harbaugh's seat for the Ravens. So we'll see how that kind of happens and what happens with that as the offseason goes further along. From the AFC North to the NFC West, because we have the Seahawks and the Niners. The Seahawks win, lock up the number one seed in the NFC, although the 49ers, those throwback uniforms, I'm a fan of those throwback uniforms.
Yeah,
I like them. I like them a lot. But it's about the game in which Seahawks come out victorious. The number one seed going in the NFC. There'll be a bye. But, Pat, how did the Seahawks look doing it? And we all have questions about one Sam Darnold. Is he going to be seeing ghosts, or will he be a Ghostbuster come this playoffs?
Honestly, watching that game, I don't think Sam Darnold will go into this playoff seeing ghosts. This was a must-win playoff atmosphere type game on the road. And quite honestly, I know the numbers are not there, but he passed the test with flying colors. He played very, very efficient. He made the plays when they had to be made, especially on third downs, putting the ball in JSN's hands. Charbonnet did a great job of giving a lending hand in the running game. And then when the Seattle Seahawks are able to run the football, that's when they are able to see Sam Darnold at his best, because now he has the play action available. Now the defense has the highest pressure rate far as getting to the quarterback. They have young, they play aggressive. They're not afraid of anyone. And now everything has to go through Seattle. So for me, Sam Darnold got the stamp from me, because that always has been the biggest question. Can Sam Darnold answer the bell? Can Sam Darnold not see ghosts in these pressure big moments? And in this game, this is probably the most confident we've seen him all year, although he didn't have a touchdown. He didn't throw an interception, but he played efficient. And that's what the Seattle Seahawks are going to need him to be if they want to be this year's Super Bowl champion. Like I said, the defense is playing outstanding. The 12th man is going to be real. So now NFC teams know and understand that they have to travel up north, way up north. So it's going to be a travel for anybody who's going to be making that trip. And right now, Seattle Seahawks are playing like the best team in all of NFL.
Well, this defense doesn't have a catchy slogan or nickname like the Legion of Boom, but it's really good. They probably, I think, end the season as the best defense in the NFL. I think for the most of the year, it was Houston. Denver has a bunch of sacks. And so those teams would be contesting and vying for that spot too. But to go to San Francisco and hold Kyle Shanahan's offense to just 3 points after what we saw Brock Purdy do the Sunday night before against the Bears speaks volumes about what they're capable of doing on that side of the ball. They make it so Sam Darnold and that offense can have drives that end in three with field goals, with kicks, and they feel okay about themselves. You know, 13 points, you wouldn't have thought going into the game was going to be enough to beat San Francisco on the road, but it was, because they just handed in such a dominant defensive performance. They, McCaffrey had a very quiet game. And if McCaffrey is pretty much held in check, Purdy has been awesome in the second half of the season since he came back from that injury. But without him, it's going to be a very difficult, rough sledding type of game for them. So that to me is going to be the story for the Seahawks, less so about Sam Darnold, but can their defense continue to be this efficient and dominant in the playoffs? Because you hold teams to this kind of offensive output, you're not really putting a lot of onus on your quarterback. At that point, Darnold's got to manage the game and not screw it up. And he's good enough to do that. So that's what I learned about the Seahawks in this game, is their defense without a lot of stars is the best defense going into the NFL playoffs currently.
No Legion of Boom. I was trying to think of something, trying to think of a catchy nickname for this year's. I'll let the good people on the internet, the good people in the Pacific Northwest take care of that. But a very good defense for Seattle. We'll see after a bye week, after a Super Wild Card weekend, how they turn up in the divisional round. Gentlemen, I'm a big believer in you get what you deserve. You get what you earn. You get what you work for. And so the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they win the NFC South Championship, as it was billed by a lot of people, but still don't get in, as the football gods would have it. The Atlanta Falcons beat the Saints. We'll talk about that game a little bit later, which puts the Panthers into the playoffs and has the Buccaneers going to Cancun. So, Pat and Pony, what was your kind of reaction to the NFC South Championship and the Panthers going into the playoffs for the first time in a long time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for the Panthers because it's been forever, you know, since the Cam Newton era really ended. This team has been kind of lost at sea. They tried Baker Mayfield. It didn't work. They tried Sam Darnold. It didn't work. They had both of those guys, and they eventually punted on both and gave up a ton to get Bryce Young, that trade with the Bears. And it looked like it was going to go down as a horrible trade, and it still probably will. But at least now they're going to have playoff football back in Charlotte. And Bryce Young has had up and down games. He's had he had a great game against the Rams. He's going to have to try to do it again. My bigger story, though, here, Pat and James, on this whole thing is I just think it's complete BS that they're going to host this game on Saturday. They've got to find a way when the competition committee and the owners meetings happen and we get the NFL coaches and decision makers together to change this, because it's not right, number one, that the Panthers are going to host the Rams when they lost more games than they won this year. And it also screws up the seeding, and it punishes, like, for example, it punishes the Seahawks indirectly, because now instead of being the Rams went 12-5, the Rams should really be the 2 seed in the NFC playoffs, not the 5 seed. And because of that scheduling or seeding quirk, there's a scenario in which the Rams would play Seattle in the next round. It's not fair that the team that gets the number 1 seed would have to play the second best team in the NFC the second weekend of the playoffs. That's not the way it's supposed to work. So the Rams, even though they finished in second, should be the 2 seed, and the Panthers should be the 7 seed. And this game should be in LA on Saturday and not in Charlotte. The Buccaneers blew it. They should have won the division. It leads to questions about what's going to happen with them moving forward. Everyone's going to come back there, but now Baker Mayfield has the microscope on him again, and so does Todd Bowles. But my bigger picture take is, Pat, it's really not right that this is how the NFL is going to conduct their playoffs with the Panthers hosting a game this weekend.
Yes. Remember, I brought this up last year with Minnesota traveling to, was it the Rams, right?
Yeah. The same. And it got moved to a neutral site because of the wildfires in Malibu, but yeah.
Exactly. But same thing, the same gripe. I thought that was a reasonable, you know, argument last year, and now, you know, you're bringing it up again. But at the end of the day, the Rams dropped the ball as well, you know, for the most part, losing that game against
the Falcons,
Carolina, losing against Seattle. Hell, they should be the number one seed for the most part. You know what I mean? Versus the two and the five seed. They have found ways to lose ball game as good as they are. You know, the Rams that I'm speaking of. But I agree with you 100%. I believe that they will make a change to the playoff seeding far as wins and losses and how teams tally up their wins. And I believe that is something that they'll probably consider in the near future far as seeding, because I agree with you 100%. I don't think it's right that someone who went through an 18-week season won 12 games and having to go on the road and play someone who lost more games than they won. You know, I just don't think, because at the end of the day, what you're playing the season for? I get it that they're division champs. Yes, they are in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, they didn't win more games than the team that they're about to face. So I think that will be a change in the near future. And to the Buccaneers, they dropped the ball as well. You know, going into the bye week, 6-2, they played their best ball when they wasn't healthy. That's the crazy thing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were 6-2 without Bucky Irvin, without Mike Evans, without Chris Godwin in the lineup. You know, defense was playing, lights out, getting those stops when they needed them. And after the bye week, they go 2-7. You know, so that's something that's very, very uncharacteristic from a Todd Bowles-led team. I don't know if it was, Baker Mayfield end up suffering the shoulder injury, which kind of hindered him from his big-time playmaking ability. The offensive line end up starting to get banged up. Defense, was a little leaky, giving up big plays after big plays week in and week out. So it's a lot that kind of went into that Tampa Bay season. But, for the start of it, it looked very, very promising that they can be that championship team that they was a couple years ago. Then it all just fell apart one when they got healthy, which is something that's very, very uncharacteristic for a team that's a veteran team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they're going to have to look themselves in the mirror, get healthy, obviously. I believe in Coach Bowles. I had the opportunity to play with him, so I know, these guys are going to go into this offseason with it on their mind and coming back next year with the vengeance.
The end of that season, the end of this season really took the wind out of my sails, pun intended over there. We'll go to the Lions and the Bears, because the Bears dropped one they tried to win. There's a lot of teams, not a lot, but there's some teams that rested their starters knowing they're in the playoffs, wanting to get healthy. The Bears were going for a win. They lose, but still get the number two seed. Pat, does that concern you that the Bears actually tried to go get this one and weren't able to and have to kind of carry that energy and that juju into the playoffs?
Now, you definitely want to, go into the playoff with the win. They gave it their all, but they just got off to a slow start. They allowed the Detroit Lions offense and Jared Goff to really just destroy the interior of their defense passing-wise. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown had a field day on those digs and bang eights. And things like that. Then you had the young fella running the deep overs. Jameson Williams running the deep overs and showing his afterburners in that ball game. But they end up catching themselves and were able to, to do enough to get enough stops and give their offense back the football to tie the ball game up. But then that last drive came up and then the same thing happened. So that was just very, very, unusual for the Bears in that moment, because I felt like they had a grasp on how the Detroit Lions wanted to attack them. They did a better job of making sure they had a whole player or someone in the middle of the field. And that last drive, they gave up big plays after big play to Jameson. They gave up one to Amon-Ra St. Brown on the same plays that they end up. I felt that they end up making the adjustment to. So it was a bit let down for them because they did so much to get back into that ball game. The running game, the thing I probably will be concerned with going into the playoffs for the Chicago Bears is the running game wasn't hitting like we all thought it would going up against this battered Detroit Lions football defense. So I believe Ben Johnson is definitely going to have to get back into the lab and find ways to get that running game going often and early, and they have to get off to a fast start. And, you know, I really feel when the Bears have to press, that's when mistakes can happen. That's when, you know, not the good plays, you know, end up falling their way. Although they have won close ball games, but now this is a win or go home moment. There is no tomorrow. So I feel if the Chicago Bears can get off to a good start, a hot start, get that running game going, they can make a run into this playoff.
I just don't feel like they've been the same team since they had that incredible rushing performance against the Eagles on Black Friday. They've won games. They blew out the Browns. That was a fiasco for Cleveland, obviously. They played those two close games against the Packers, one that they won in just miraculous fashion with the onside kick and everything else, and the other one where they lost it at the end because Caleb Williams threw that interception. But I'm just like you, I'm kind of mystified as to where their running game has gone here the last 2 weeks. They didn't have it in San Francisco, even when they went there and scored 38 points. It was all through the air, inconsistent run game. Their defense against the Lions, I would say, would play bend but don't break. They didn't give up a lot of points, but the Lions moved the ball up and down on them the entire game. And if the Lions could have cashed in red zone trips, the Bears would have gotten blown out in this game, trying to win again. So yes. I don't have a great feeling about them going into the playoffs. This is obviously already a successful season for them because they went from worst to first and they flipped the division and they're going to host a playoff game at Soldier Field. But for this season and what happens from here, I would not feel great about how the season ended. They could have gone into the playoffs on a 3-game losing streak if not for the wild finish to that Green Bay game where it looked like they were going to lose for sure. They recover the onside kick. They score. They win in overtime. I mean, credit to them for pulling that off. But they do not make me feel like a team right now that's got a chance to win 2 or 3 games here and get to the Super Bowl, not by a long shot.
Yeah. And looking at the playoff bracket, I'm going to pull it up real quick. Because if they win, they will play. Here we go.
They'll either play Philly or San Francisco, likely, if they.
Yeah, if they win. And I feel like Philly is going to. Well, both teams will have to come to them. So
Philly or the Rams, I should say.
Exactly. So if they have to play Philly or the Rams,
they're going to be an underdog in either one of those games.
Say 100%. It again.
They'll be an underdog against the Eagles or Rams, even though they already beat the Eagles.
I don't think they'll be an underdog against the Rams, in my opinion. Just really? Because we saw the Rams in elements. The Rams don't play well in elements. And we've seen that a number of times.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, gentlemen. Bears still got to win.
Bears true.
Win. Wild card weekend when we talk about divisional weekend. And we'll see. Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams will be their first opportunity to go to the postseason together. And let's see if they can put it together. Let's go to the Chargers and the Broncos because the Broncos stumped the Chargers. They clinched the number one seed in the AFC. They will have home field throughout. So how do you feel about the Broncos as a contender with the AFC going mile high to the Super Bowl? And for the Chargers, how should you feel if you're a Chargers fan going into the playoffs? 11 wins this season, but it's been up and down in L.A.
If I'm Denver Broncos, man, I believe it's going to fall on the shoulders of Bo Nix. And this is going to be a win-or-go-home situation. We know he had a bunch of heroic wins in the fourth quarter during the regular season. They're going to have the bye. How is this young quarterback going to respond not playing a week of football with all the momentum, with all the eyes on you? Can you take this number one seed football team to the big dance? And we don't know how he's going to respond to that pressure that's on his shoulders right now. But the way that he's been playing throughout the season, he's going to have to be better in the playoffs. And there's no question about it. We know their defense can get after the quarterback. We know their defense can take away the football. But the biggest questions all year for the Denver Broncos is, can Bo Nix be efficient enough or make those enough plays outside of the fourth quarter to put them in a better position to win ball games? Can the Denver Broncos run the football efficient enough to help Bo Nix in the passing game? So those are going to be some questions that's going to be answered here in 2 weeks. And, you know, the biggest question is how is Bo Nix is going to respond off of being a year two quarterback, going into a bye with the week off? How are you taking advantage of that week off? How are you taking advantage of that break? You know, so that's going to be the biggest question about the Denver Broncos going into this 2026 playoffs. And for the LA Chargers, they should be very, very happy and grateful for the position that they are in because of all of the things that they had to deal with throughout the season: running back injuries, offensive line injuries, quarterback breaks his hand, defense ebbs and flows throughout the season. So they should be very, very happy in the position that they are in. But they played their backups, you know, so they was pretty much set in the position. They was pretty much okay with the position that they were in, that they was in their placement in the playoffs. So they played their backups. They didn't want to have guys, you know, take on any more, you know, hits that they didn't need to going into this playoff. Wanted to get into the playoff as healthy as possible, but they are still limping, you know, because the offensive line is still not healthy.
Yeah.
So you get Hampton back, but, you know, the running game is still, you know, it's still a work in progress. You know, the defense is not playing as strong as they did in the beginning of the year. So you just have to cross your fingers and hope that you guys are able to put forth their best effort to come out of here with the win. Because they got the who they're playing?
New England.
On the road. So just got to hope and pray and cross your fingers that your guys can come up with enough plays, because this New England football Patriots team, man, they probably is one of the better, well-rounded teams in this playoff because of their special team, because of their defense. You know, they don't have many stars as well, but they get the job done on defense, and the offense is playing at a very, very high level. So it's going to be a tough task, especially coming from the West Coast, traveling back east. You know, so they're going into the playoffs limping, going into this game as well without playing any of their major starters in their foe against the Denver Broncos. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the Los Angeles Chargers are able to get out of here with a W if they can.
LA was 5-0 in the division before this game. I mean, if you had told them that the Chiefs weren't going to win the division this year, so it was up for grabs, and you were 5-0 in your first five games in the AFC West, I think the Chargers would have thought for sure they were going to win the division. They didn't, because they did have injuries. They also blew some winnable games, and Denver went crazy in one-score games. They tied the Chiefs' record, and they tied your Vikings' record, Pat, for wins in one-score games this year. They won 11 season, which was an NFL record. If I'm the Broncos, I feel good about my defense going into the playoffs, but I'm still wondering, why is it so effing hard for us offensively? Sean Payton is one of the best offensive coaches in the NFL. This is year two of Bo Nix. They've got one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. They played mainly Chargers backups, and they averaged in this game 3.7 yards per carry, and they had 124 passing yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should have. Last year in this game, they played Chiefs backups. I think they won the game 35-0 against Chiefs backups. Against Chargers backups, same situation, they won 19-3. They're the number one seed. It's tough to win at Mile High. They were great there this year, other than that Jacksonville loss. But they don't really instill a lot of confidence in me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't.
100%.
They win close games, and Nix battles his butt off in that stuff, but they just don't pass my eye test enough, man.
And that's what I'm saying. It's going to come down to Bo Nix in the running game. We know what their defense can do, but all the pressure is on Bo Nix's shoulders right now.
And if their defense lets up even a little bit, I think they're in trouble. And they don't force turnovers. That's the other thing. They do not. They did not force turnovers all year, which is wild because of the amount of sacks they get. You'd think you hit the quarterback a lot. That means bad throws and fumbles. I think they were 28th in the league in takeaways going into that game Sunday.
And you know what was interesting as well? Nick Bonito had an interview with Tracy, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's who had their game.
Yeah, Tracy Wilson.
Yeah, and he spoke about how Sean Payton was very, very furious with the defense about, you know, not having turnovers. He's like, I don't give a damn about the sacks anymore. Get me some turnovers. You know, so here's my thing about that. When you start pressing for turnovers, bad things happen. You know, so obviously you weren't able to get no turnovers. Your defense is still playing at a high level. Just play responsible football and the turnovers will come.
Unless you're the Jets.
Yeah, man, how sad is that? Did I have a turnover all season?
Well,